Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I see the president any minute is going to campaign for Darlene Graham in South Carolina. If I were the president and the person I was going to campaign for said what she said in that debate this week, I'd cancel the trip. I'd cancel the trip. There are certain things that I think are disqualifying if you're running for the United States Senate. It's drive time. It's Jason, hour three. Glad to have you with us on this Friday. Big crowd in Myrtle Beach. Beautiful, by the way. Man, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I love South Carolina. Great state. Great people. Lots of nepotism. Lindsey Graham recently died. The governor of South Carolina appointed his sister to fulfill the rest of his term. Darlene Graham, during a debate this week, was asked a foreign policy question because, you know, the same thing is going to happen to Michelle. I'm fighting fraud in Minnesota. Oh, wait, I'm running for the Senate, not for governor. Michelle Tafoya is going to be asked these foreign policy questions as well. There is a question all of us face when we analyze candidates, if you're analyzing candidates outside the rubric of I vote for all Republicans or I vote for all Democrats. And while many of us are intoxicated by the idea of somebody who's an outsider, a newcomer, it also is sort of unreasonable to expect these outsiders and newcomers to know everything. Especially when it comes to foreign policy, most people who want to run for office to represent their state know issues that affect their state. That said, can you consider any freaking circumstance where this would be your answer to a foreign policy question?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not on national security. I'm not that informed on national security. So
what?
But I do support the military. My brother was in the Air Force for 33 years.
Yes!
So I will do anything I can to support the military.
I'm on board! Yes! If you don't know the answer, pivot to I support the military and I back the blue. Next question. The question was about Taiwan. Is this a deal breaker for you? Because I suspect that at some point, are we going to have a similar gaffe with Michelle Tafoya or Peggy Flanagan? Maybe not this extreme because Tafoya is such a good communicator. I can't imagine that would be an acceptable answer
for
her.
Well, to your point, There's a soundbite that Democrats are trying to jump on and say, look, this is Michelle. This is her telling the truth out loud or saying the quiet part out loud here when she clearly makes a speech error, right? Yeah. Just listen to what she said.
The last people I'm going to answer to are the Minnesotans who send me there. So let's go. Let's take our Minnesota common sense with us and let's have some sober leadership with a spine back in the Senate.
Yeah.
So Democrats are trying to jump on that and say, see, she doesn't care about Minnesota. The last people she's going to be. Well, that's not what she meant.
And if you listen to the statement, she clearly was saying, like, it was like in her head, she was running through a checklist of like,
who am I?
And
gonna,
then the last people, yeah, like, these are the
final people on my list, the people that I really are going to care the most about it. It was just awkwardly phrased by her.
Yeah.
But there's a difference between.
That's very different.
It's extraordinarily different between Michelle just saying something awkwardly and Darlene Graham saying, well, I don't really know anything about national
That's
security.
That's not my thing. It's not my thing.
Noted lefty Megyn Kelly says that's disqualifying. And I think it is.
I think it has
to be for United States Senate, for a senator, especially when you're somebody who's only in that position because she was the brother or the sister to a guy who was a U.S. senator forever and ever and ever. That's fine if you want to just fill out the remainder of his term. There makes a little bit of sense there. But
sure.
If you're going to run then to take that seat and hold on to that seat as an elected official, and in your first debate you say, I don't really know anything about national security, I'm sorry, that's disqualifying.
I think it's disqualifying, too. 651-461-9226. She tried to clarify her statement. And this is what we're going to be hearing for the next couple of months, what she said on Hannity. I tripped up on one question last night regarding Taiwan. I don't speak politician. I was just honest. Of course, Taiwan is our friend. But I think people in South Carolina are more worried about boys and girls sports. It may be true that the average person is more worried about boys and girls sports than they are about Taiwan. But I want someone running for office who is better than me, who is more informed than me, more curious. Well, maybe not more curious than me, but like, come on. Like, is that the standard? Like, this is the United States Senate. I think it's maybe more understandable if you're running for the U.S. House, where you're representing, you know, one district in a state, but you represent the whole state as a senator for 6 years. How dare you even have the chutzpah to run for this office? To me, a reasonable answer, if you're trying to clean it up, is I just entered this realm 2 months ago. And I'll tell you what. I am working around the clock, not only to campaign, but also to get up to speed, because being a senator is not like running for student body president of a high school. It requires deep knowledge of global issues, of national issues, all from a lens right here in South Carolina. My heart, my focus is here, but my knowledge has to grow, and I'm working on it, and I'll keep working on it. And you deserve better than the answer that I gave on stage the other day. Is this why I would never get elected? Is that just too, like, she's like, I'm not, she says I don't speak politician. My God, it doesn't get more politician than pivot to trans athletes in sports. To me, this says Darlene Graham knows about like three topics. That's it. It's embarrassing. We need to demand more. And I will say this, like, and we've reached out to the Tafoya campaign many times. Hopefully we'll have Michelle on during the state fair. She came on with Chad.
Working with her scheduler on that. So,
but she's mostly been doing the I'm a podcaster, I will talk to media from my studio bit. And I don't know, maybe in our world today that's enough. I would like to see you out there more. I want more debates. I think if you're running for Senate, not only should you have a debate, like a general debate. But I wish we had more issue-oriented debates. So, like, let's do a budget. Let's do a budgeting debate. Let's do a foreign policy debate. And then let's do a hot-button issues debate. Let's do that. Let's go a little deeper and understand, like, what do we know as far as what Peggy Flanagan feels about? Well, I don't know what Peggy Flanagan's views are on Taiwan, on China, on foreign policy. Are we ever going to get these answers? I don't know. But to say that, like, that's just not really your thing. You're not, I mean, my God. Oh, it should be your thing. We're going to break in just a minute. I want to talk about data centers. I know the polling. There's almost nothing that Democrats or Republicans, regular people, agree on, and that is a hatred of data centers. And I think it's short-sighted, and I do think there's an opportunity here. And if I were the city of St. Paul, I would be trying to get every dang data center I could right in downtown St. Paul. I'm sure you guys all think I'm nuts. I'll explain why. 651-461-9226. Drive time going hard in our last hour on this Friday on CCO.
Fall is a vibe. So what's yours? Do you go wild or get a little nostalgic? Do you like to cozy up indoors or kick it outdoors? Whatever you fall for, get shoes that get you. We've got the trend. You bring the vibes. DSW, let us surprise you.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
St. Paul should try to get every dang data center it can. There's a real opportunity here, and I don't understand why these two cities don't just go to war and say, well, if Minneapolis doesn't want it, I'll take it. The war on data centers, I get the fear, but I think it was in Blois's Morning Take newsletter today that talked about data centers and how quickly public opinion on it has shifted. New research. Now, a year ago, when people were asked, do you want a data center to be built near you? A year ago, the number of people who said hell no was 42%. And that's a lot, right, Dan? You're like, okay, 42% say, I don't want one of these near me. And you say, there aren't that many things that 42% of Americans all would be universally say, like, I mean, yeah, if you're like, do you want a dump, like a garbage dump, or do you want like a polluting,
yeah,
or, you know, smokestack?
Hey, we're going to throw an airport up next to your house.
But if you ask people like, hey, do you want something that could help like your computers run quicker and your cell, whatever, mm-hmm, like, would you want that near you? A year ago is 42%. Today, 73%. Yep. I don't know that there's anything more villainized in America right now than data centers.
I heard an interesting theory from our friend Chris Saliza.
Mm.
And maybe we should have him on to talk about this next week. But he, the way, and I'm not sure where he, if he's drawing this from someplace or if this is his own theory, is that really what it comes down to with data centers is we're actually afraid of AI. And data centers become the physical manifestation, because AI is just a website. Nobody's mad at a website, right?
Right.
But that data centers become the physical manifestation of AI. This is a physical way for AI to intrude in our lives, as opposed to the digital way that AI intrudes in our lives. It's hard to really, you know, get your arms around that. But when the big building with no windows, with jobs to construct it that go away afterwards, and then it's taken our electricity and it's taken our water, you know, that's the thing we can get our arms around and go, oh, no, that's bad. We don't like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting theory.
The reality is we use computers like crazy. We're using AI in ways. I mean, I use AI to have Google make the thumbnail image for the videos of this show that I post. I used to make it myself, although there was an AI tool in that graphic design thing that erased the background.
There are companies that are requiring employees not only to learn AI, but actually are requiring them to use AI in their day-to-day work activity and to be able to demonstrate how they're using it.
We should get something out of this. And downtown St. Paul has so much vacancy in so many buildings. And frankly, a lot of that is the fault of our own government, who didn't call people back to the office. When you're a company town and the company's the government says you all can work from home, there is a certain obligation to figure out what are you going to do to fix that void. To me, let downtown St. Paul become as many buildings that could take data centers, bring them on. There's plenty of power running to downtown St. Paul. You're not going to affect the grid. You've got Ecolab right there. Let them experiment on cooling technology. Why can't we become the headquarters of this? And you know, in Minneapolis, and right now residents are freaking out about the small portion of the old Star Tribune printing plant that is going to become a data center. It's part of a larger package. Why don't we have a good old-fashioned St. Paul versus Minneapolis scenario and have St. Paul say, you know what? Come on in. No, like, we're not building the mega thing. But, like, why not? If I were St. Paul, I'd roll out the welcome mat and say, bring me all your data centers.
Texter says, I attended a wedding event in the exurbs. On the patio, there was a very loud and constant buzzing, zapping noise from a data center 1 mile away. All the data center builders / chip builders should put up their houses up next to one as an example for all of us.
Yeah.
But that, to your point, it makes all the more sense to be using downtown office space that is sitting there empty and converting that to data center type of stuff. Because if you do have this buzzing, zapping, whatever, well, I mean, that's just part of the humdrum of downtown, right?
Right.
As opposed to putting it out in the suburbs and the exurbs, where people, you know, are building houses because they want to be away from the noise of the city. So put it in the city.
I think there should be two spots with data centers. One is downtowns. You have the infrastructure. You have less of... And the truth is people aren't coming back to the office at the rate that they once did. And so you got to figure out what to do with this space. You're not going to the cost of knocking down the buildings. But we have, what, a 30-story building right across the street from us in downtown Minneapolis? Turn it into a data center. I don't care. It's fine. But Minneapolis is going to be a no. You know how the politics of this city. There is no way that data centers are going to have any sort of acceptance here. So if you're St. Paul, what's your lane? What is your lane to revitalize downtown to fill those jobs? I've heard two ideas. One would be becoming a haven for the defense industry. So if you tried to get government contracts and have defense contractors and maybe you offered very low rent or incentives or whatever, that would be one option. And what about the politics of that? Betty McCollum's been getting roasted because she is a peacenik. But she also, to me, Betty McCollum is exactly what a congressperson should be. You have your personal beliefs. My personal belief is peace, anti-war, very left-wing. And then you have your job, which is to provide for your district and get all you can. To me, St. Paul should get as many data centers as they can. And some of the rural Minnesota arguments over data center to me are ridiculous. Where if you're going to put a mega data center in the middle of nowhere, fine. Fine. What else you got? Like, let's get some jobs for the people in trades. Let's build some buildings. This stuff is going to be built. And once again, we're going to get hosed because we won't let it happen here. If we had 20 other better options, I would say, yes, do those other things. What is the better option? What do you guys have? The data center haters, what is your idea to provide growth, job, tax revenue? Now, you can, through permitting, you can build the guardrails around environmental issues, I think. One texter says maybe the idea is to have publicly owned data centers and the profits should be used to offset tax increase. I mean, essentially, the idea is that these things would offset tax increase. And you could make that as part of the negotiation. Now, I do think these data centers have some obligation, too. Data centers are promising. They're like, well, we'll give money for schools. We'll build this. We'll do that. Well, I think they should do it up front. Do it now. Build it. Don't tell me you're going to do it in 10 years. How are you supposed to convince people? Put some skin in the game. Start doing it now. I think that would go a long way. The water usage question is out there. It's valid. But I think let's be the leader in figuring it out. If all you do is say no, then you're never going to figure it out, and you sure as hell aren't going to do it here. Let's break. Dan Hayes in a minute. Twins, I'm asking Dan about Joe Ryan's injury, and I'm asking Dan about whether the Twins have a real shot to actually win the division. Keep it here.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.